Well, good morning. It's good to be with you and to share and proclaim God's Word. I was here a couple of weeks ago and it was beginning of holidays and there weren't so many people. Now I see that Summerlees is bigger than I thought and there's still more families away. So it's great to be with you and to look at Psalm 62 here. And the title that has been given to this psalm is A Friend for All Time. So I invite you to keep your Bibles open, and an outline for the message is in your newsletters if you'd like to follow that or even take some notes. Well, one of the things that we see in this psalm is a relationship with God, and I wanted to just talk to you about friendship being a very special gift. Friendship is a relationship that's based on trust. And it's interesting that one of the key words in this psalm is the word trust. You'll see it as the hinge of the psalm in verse 8. So if you look at verse 8 with me, trust in him, in God, at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. So our talk about friendship is going to deal with that central point of trust in this psalm. Now, when you look at the word trust in the Bible, and as I was checking that out, one of the key elements of the word trust is loyalty and reliability. And so when you think about friendships and why they're really special, it's this matter of loyalty, reliability, and being able to trust in someone. Now, we as Australians often look at our Anzacs as part of our DNA as a nation. Anzac Day and the Anzacs are a time when we were working together in the trenches, and then you trusted in each other. And my son's recently gone into the army, and they are doing all these exercises, and the whole platoon, if something goes wrong, the whole platoon suffers. So if one person's out of line, the whole platoon is confined to barracks or whatever. And what they're teaching is we do this all together. We can trust each other completely in every situation. We also have our national sports. And if anybody has played football, you know that when you are lining up in the team, you are trusting that your team members will be aiming for the same goal and that they'll kick to position and you'll find a place and you'll get the ball and you'll kick goals for the team. So these elements of reliability, trust, friendship are built into us. And we have a great concept of mateship as Australians. So that all builds on this whole idea of relationships and friendships being a special gift. So one of the core elements of this psalm that David experienced and experience with God is this matter of being able to rely on someone who you can trust in any and every situation. And so when we look at the concept of trust, I looked up in the dictionary for a definition, and it says in the Oxford dictionary, a firm belief in the honesty and the truthfulness and justice and strength of a person or thing. So trust becomes really a huge concept. And to understand God and the Bible, trust is one of those important concepts. When do you trust things? Well, when you walk over a bridge, you trust that that bridge is going to be strong enough to cross it. And recently our family was up at the Tahoon Airwalk. And I'm a boy at heart and my sons were with me. And we went out to that piece that overlooks the river. It's like a, what do you call that when it, what's it called?
Cantilever,
that's it. And we were standing on the end and we were jumping to try to make it rock, you know. And I said to the boys, I wonder how the testing went for this particular airwalk. And on Friday we had Rick and Karina van der Clay, and I talked to him about it. He said, you know that they gave me the design of the bridge to test before it went up. I said, because did you test it for strength or what was it? He said, look, it was strong enough, but he said, when I put it through all my testings, they had to triple all the cables for that Tahoon airwalk. Why? So it could actually stand up to all the winds that go through. So as far as strength goes this way, it was okay, but it wouldn't have been able to take the swaying. So when you cross a bridge, you trust in its strength, in its reliability, in its firmness. And for our children, you know, when you go over a children's crossing and you see this little lady with a lollipop, you know, and she stands there and she puts the lollipop up, and you can trust that now you can cross the road. You trust in this lady's power to stop the traffic with a lollipop. Or when you're driving a car and you're coming down a hill and you put your foot on the brake, you are trusting in the reliability of that car to put its brakes on so you can stop. So that's talking about things, you know, material things like bridges and crossings and cars. But what about people? How do you trust people? Well, when you think of a child trusting its parents, I can remember standing on a busy road, and buses and cars were going past, and all the wind of the buses comes past you, and you are rather frightened to cross the road. But when your father or your mother sticks out their hands, and you put your hands in theirs, and they lead you across, you trust in them. You trust in them to be able to take you safely across. Or what about for our kids and our memories as older people at night time, when you had a bad dream and you woke up very frightened during the night? You feel all alone, but what do? You tiptoe into mum and dad's bedroom and you tap them on the shoulder and they comfort you, and sometimes they invite you into bed with them. You trust them, you feel safe in their strength, and you can feel warm and take a deep sigh and go back to sleep. Well, we all need someone to trust. And I'd like to say quite boldly that life would be impossible. Life would be impossible if we couldn't trust anyone. Now, David is writing this psalm. We don't know exactly the incident that led to this psalm, but I'm going to read to you afterwards a passage which could easily have been the background to Psalm 62. So the question we're facing is, what do you do when your world is falling apart? I want you to think about that. What do you do when your world is falling apart? Because that's what seems to be happening to David in this psalm, even though it was written a long time ago. And remember, this is the guy who took to the giant Goliath with a slingshot and killed him. This is the guy who, as a young boy, learned that God is someone you can trust. And now he felt like a hunted man. Now he felt like people were out to topple him over. He describes himself as one of those weak fences that you give it one little shove, bang, it falls over. That's how he feels. People even wanted to kill him. And though he was good with the slingshot, good with the spear, he is afraid and on the run. Well, let's read a passage from 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, if one of you has got a pew Bible, when you get to 1 Samuel 30, could you just tell us the page number? And then we can line up with that. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 292. Now, David has been on the run from Saul. He's been taking some refuge amongst Israel's enemies, the Philistines. And in chapter 30, David has been out and he's coming back to the place where he and his men and their wives had all been stationed. Listen to what happens here in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Can you imagine that? They wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. You see what happens? Even his loyal followers said, this is so bad, David. You've wrecked everything for us. And they felt like stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. And listen to this. But David found strength in the Lord his God. That's a very telling word, isn't it? David found strength in the Lord his God. They had been weeping, had no strength left to weep. People were going to basically, even his own soldiers, to stone him. And David found strength in the Lord his God. That could easily have been the background to Psalm 62. And David here finds himself and he actually reminds himself. The psalm is actually a fair bit of self-talk. He says in verse 1, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He rescues me. And then people can, be against you. They can talk behind your back. They can try to take you out. All those things seem to be happening in verses 3 and 4 to David. And what does David do? The other part of 1 Samuel 30 said, David finds his strength in the Lord. David keeps coming back to God. Look at verse 1. We just read that. My soul, I'm talking to myself here, my soul finds rest in God alone. My hope comes from him. That's a declaration, a statement. But then in verse 5, he says the same thing. Look at that. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. So there he reminds himself. And if you look at the progression in verse 8, he says, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Now understand what's happening here. David is talking to God. He is then making a statement, and then the self-talk. When you are in the pits, what you think in your heart, what you've been trained to do in relying on God, is so important. And then David goes on to say, this is not just for me. It's also for you. Trust in him at all times. O people, down through the centuries, he's talking right to us. And he says God is his rock and his refuge at all times, in all places, for all of life. So that's what to do when your world is falling apart. And the second thing we want to see in this psalm is that friendship with God is based on relationship. We need to be reminded of this concept of trust. Someone who is reliable, honest, safe and strong, the strongest person in the world. And we're still at the very beginning of 2009. And I think last time I was here, I was preaching on Psalm 90 about God being our hope in ages past, our help for years to come. And 2009, who knows what's ahead of us? Last week, Saturday, our churches were rocked by this tragic accident that James Reynolds had out in the bush on his motorbike. And he was helicoptered into the Royal, and on Monday, this past week gone, he had major surgery for 5 or 6 hours. And Wednesday, he had to submit to another few hours of surgery. And he is, in dire straits, humanly speaking, but he has still got the movement of his limbs. Now, when James was out there on his motorbike on Saturday morning, he didn't have a clue what was going to happen Saturday afternoon. And so what I'm saying to you is God is telling us he's there, he's strong, he's powerful, reliable. When your world's falling apart, remember to call on him. And he is there all the time. Reflect on that in whatever's going to face you this coming year. You see, sometimes when we're at school, I don't know what your schooling was like, but there are some pretty nasty schoolyard bullies around. And kids are frightened, and they'd love to have someone strong in the playground with them. I bet you lots of kids would love to have an Arnold Schwarzenegger, sort of being their bodyguard in the playground, so that no one would harm them because they've got a strong person on their side. But the trouble is that he can only be in one place at one time. And if he's in America, he's obviously not going to be with you in the school ground as children. And millions of kids would love to have someone like him, but he's only one person. And then David in this psalm takes these big concepts in verses 11 and 12. And he talks about God. He uses the word God, Elohim, the creator, the one who has everything in his hands. And then he talks about him as God being strong and the Lord Adonai, the one who rules, the one who is the ruler, he is loving. And David reminds us of this God who created the heavens and the earth, who made all the deep oceans and all the animals that walk on the earth, the birds, the fish, the reptiles. He created you and he created me. That's who he is. And God put the sun in place, the moon and the stars and the planets, and he keeps them there by his command. That's his power. That's his strength. And the same God has an eye for detail. Nothing escapes his notice. He knows every ant that crawls on the ground. He knows every bird that flies from tree to tree. Every fish that's in the ocean. Every child who's scared at night. Every patient who's on the operating table. He sees them and he knows them all. David says, at all times, rely on him. So even though we can't see God, we can actually sense and know his presence. We have his word to tell us that, and we have the experiences that the Holy Spirit allows us to have. Now, I want to just tease that out a bit about how do you experience something you can't really see. Well, I don't know if you can remember being sick at home, lying in bed and sort of half asleep and half awake and a bit dazed, and you can have someone come up to your bed and just, maybe it's mum, maybe it's dad, checking you out, and you almost can sense them hovering around you. I don't know if you've ever had that. Or if you're in hospital and you've just recovered from an operation and you're lying there in bed, and then before you know it, someone is there around you, doctors, nurses, maybe friends who are visiting you. Or mum and dad is sitting there holding your hands, eyes full of compassion. You can be so thankful for their presence. It's something you might not have seen, and yet in your heart of hearts you can experience that. Someone is looking after you. Well, that's what God is like. And God loves to be in relationship with us. That's exactly why he made us. God made us for a relationship with him. And he is caring. He is tender. And often we don't realize it. Why is that? Because we're too busy, or maybe we are too anxious. And so David, in that self-talk, says, find rest in God. Now that word rest is a word that means calming down, being quiet in the presence of someone whom you can trust. It's not the shalom word, but it's the solitude of being able to put anxiety aside because God loves you and cares for you. And so, in order to know those things in our lives when we're too busy or too anxious, David says you can actually pour out your heart to him, you can talk to God, you can express your thoughts, and you can let words and sentences flow out like water from your mouth, from your heart to God's heart. He's a communicating God. But it happens best when you slow down, when you give God time. And God always has time for us. But sadly, and I'm sure it's your experience too, we don't always have the time for him. Our busyness, our anxieties block that. And so often we're too busy, too rushed, too occupied doing the stuff of life, and then God says, I have to slow you down. I want to engage with you. I want to talk with you. I want to communicate with you. And so this can make us angry. This can make us frustrated, but the only way that God gets our attention often is to pull us up and stop us in our tracks. And he says, take it easy on yourself. I'm here for you. Let's have a talk. And I think we talk best with God, and we listen to him best when we are quiet, when we are restful, when it's just you and God. And that's how David seems to be transacting this. In Psalm 62, find rest, O my soul. So it doesn't happen when you're watching the news on TV. It doesn't happen when you're playing computer games. It doesn't happen when your minds are so occupied that you have no space for God. God sometimes needs a jolt to get our attention, and he makes an appointment with us. Have you thought of the times when God stops you in your tracks and you can be frustrated, angry, or disappointed? But I want to suggest to you that that might be the very time that God makes disappointment into an appointment with you, to stop you and talk with you, because he wants relationship. And so David finishes this psalm by telling us why he can trust in God, because he is so strong and because he is so loving. And that is the most perfect combination that we need, someone who is strong and someone who's loving. Are they contradictory statements? Have any of you seen a mother crocodile with a little baby crocodile in her mouth? Ever seen those pictures? I mean, a crocodile's mouth can crush a human body like that. And yet when a crocodile handles its young, it takes them in its teeth and moves them around to where they've got to be. An amazing sight. Strong and loving. They're not contradictory. In the animal kingdom, it's not contradictory. And so the psalmist David is telling us that God has the strength and the love with his tender affection and his caring. And so when we look at the word trust, you know that when it's going to happen to you, it's something that you have to exercise. Trust is something that you must grab hold of and actually do. We can only trust someone who's reliable, who's safe, who's honest, and who's strong. I'll give you another illustration. I remember reading a story about a farmyard where a fire had come through, and the farmer was looking through his animals, and he saw that one of the hens had been burnt to death in the fire. When he went to the mother hen and he picked her up, underneath he saw seven little chickens safe under the mother's wings. So they thought their mother was a safe place. Fire comes and the little chickens hurry up under the mother. Now, while we're in the Psalms, just have a look at Psalm 91 with me. Just move ahead and we'll see something about this trust and strength and love. Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And then look at verse 4. "He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge." Now when I looked up the word trust in the Bible, the Hebrew word for trust that's used so often in the Psalms, in its core means to lie down face flat on the ground. That's what the word trust means. It's a very vulnerable position, but it means that you must trust someone to hover over you, to cover you, like those chickens under the mother's wings. And that's how the psalmist in 91 describes it. To fall flat on our face, to be defenseless in ourselves, and to trust that someone else will cover you and protect you. That's how the word trust has come to be. And I think we've all probably experienced that at some times in our lives, when you've been in the care of someone who went out of their way to show you their love, their tenderness, their protection. Well, God is such a person, David says. He looks at our world and God sees people like you and like me, and he wants to be close to us, but we can't see in our nature that we need him. We can't see that. And so God is the one who makes the first move. He makes the first move towards us. Sin is a barrier that we have put up against God, and sin is a relationship breaker. So God has to deal with that. And he comes to us in his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who dies on the cross so that sin can be dealt with, the relationship breaker is taken away, and Jesus becomes the reason why we can have a relationship with God, so we can trust in him. because he delivers everything that we can't. All the standards God has set for us that we've broken, Jesus keeps. All the holiness God demands that we can't deliver, Jesus gives. And that's why God sends Jesus into the world. And I want to tell you that if you look at this psalm and you see the gospel there, God is strong and he's loving. His greatest act of strength and his greatest act of love would have to be the cross. The love that God had for the world to send his only son. And the strength to face death head on and judgment and then to rise again from the dead. Oh, what a morning we sang before. So really, this psalm is speaking about friendship with God that only can come through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is strong and loving. And so God wants to have that friendship, that relationship with you and with me. It is the most important relationship any of us can have. We might think our marriage, you know, we just had Christine and Hadley, who are married, and they'll think this is the best thing that ever happened to them. Yes, in a sense it is. But there has to be another relationship with God who is there strong and loving, who will see them through anything. And you know, Jesus picks this up to his disciples when they are all tested and twisted by what's happening around Jesus saying he's going to the cross. And Jesus says in John 14 verse 1, words that we might take right to heart. Jesus says, trust in God. And what does he add? Trust also in me. Because he is the way to God. He is God. So David knew, in the midst of all the turmoil that this psalm came out of, whether it's soon after or long after, and he was working on his memory, David knew he's better off in trusting God, who is the strong one and the loving one. Even though he, as a king and a leader of an army, had many soldiers, he could have trusted in his army. And that's why David says in verses 9 to 10, don't trust in people. They are but a breath, are but a lie. Then he says, don't trust in things. Though you set your riches, though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Then he goes to God. Don't trust people, ultimately. Don't trust things. You need to trust in God. Because no one can match him in love and in strength. Now that has been my experience over 50 odd years in life. And this is a psalm that is full of David's experiences. And I'm sure there are many here who can testify the same thing. In fact, it would be interesting after the service this morning, talk to each other about the times when you have experienced God as strong and loving. Share that with each other. Encourage each other in that way. And so I'm going to point you to the one you can trust, who wants to have a relationship, a friendship with you, all through 2009 and beyond. And you can call God at any time, in the day or in the night. It's okay with him, because in Jesus, he is a friend for all times. Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this reminder from a man who was a man after your own heart, a man who faced lots of turmoil and troubles and difficulties, and yet when he reflects on you, he tells himself that you are a God who is strong and loving, in whom we can rest and have quietness and calmness, even though all sorts of things can be happening in our own lives right now, or may even come into our lives this coming year. Lord, help us to remember your word. Help us to know you as one who loves us incredibly and who is strong and mighty and full of power. And although these illustrations we heard this morning of strong people, human beings can't be everywhere at the same time, but you can. And Lord Jesus, you have conquered the enemy of death in power of your resurrection. And so you are the one who we can rely on, we can trust. You went to the cross, you went through the agony of hell, so that we don't have to, by trusting in you. Lord, remind us afresh. Give us that healthy self-talk where we will look at the scriptures. We will look at people who have told us their own experiences. We'll have our own experiences to reflect on. And may your Holy Spirit speak to us and minister to us and keep pointing us to Jesus, the one who is a friend for all times. In his name we pray. Amen.